If you have your Bible tonight, return, if you would, please, to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. I told you we would come back and visit this passage tonight, as this morning we took time to focus solely on Cornelius and his salvation experience as God presented it to us and reserved it and pinned it for our understanding. We said that the salvation of Cornelius was a must read for today. And tonight I would like to preach the second part of this message, entitled "The Submission of Peter," is also a must read for today. And I want to come at this passage from the vantage point of the moving of God and the directing of God in the life of the Apostle Peter. And I have found, as in studying this, that it was the Spirit of God that began to move and speak and lead in Peter's life to direct him to what God wanted him to do. I know chapter 10 is the main focus of our text, but chapter number 11 fits right alongside of this chapter, and there's a need to understand. In chapter number 11, the Apostle Peter is called on the carpet by some of the Jewish folks. If you look at verse number 1, it says, "And the apostles and brethren," this is chapter 11, "that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision," now whenever you read in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, "were of the circumcision," that is a reference to the Jewish national, or to the Jews, that they were of the circumcision, "contended with him." Remember, there was no dealings really between the Jew and the Gentile. And Apostle Peter had crossed a line here. If you wanted to say he crossed a racial line or some kind of line like that, you could say that. And so they're confronting him. Verse number 3, here's their charge, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them," which was a sign of fellowship and agreement. "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying," so he lays out his case. This should sound familiar to you. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision." All of this is covered in chapter 10. "A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call now not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit," capital S for the Holy Spirit, "bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. He showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning," speaking of Pentecost. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." Now that John there is John the Baptist. "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could," would you say that word, "withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace And they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And we learned this morning that us Gentiles are very grateful for repentance unto life. And so Peter in chapter number 11 is rehearsing what God has done in and through him. And in some way he's being confronted by the Jews, but he also has the opportunity to share this wonderful testimony about what God has done. And after it's all said and done, Peter has the ability in his communication of this to say, listen, this was something that God was doing. This was something that was God's plan. This was something that was bigger than me. This was something that was bigger than my judgment or my prejudice or my position. God was moving here, and who was I to get in the way of God? Who am I to withstand what God was wanting me to do? And really and truthfully, at the end of it, I believe Peter was grateful to do what God has wanted him to do. And so in reading this and praying about this and understanding this for tonight and looking at my life and thinking about your life, I don't know about you, but I do not want to be in the way of what God wants to do in and through me. I don't want to be in the way. Not only do I not want to be in the way, I don't want to withstand God. And I'm going to show you how I believe that Peter had the opportunity in the beginning to withstand what God was doing in his life. So I want you to come back to chapter number 10, and I kind of want to walk through what God did in Peter's life and point out some phrases in this chapter. I told you earlier this morning, this was not a 1, 2, 3 kind of outline. It was more of a story message today. And so let me pull out in verse number 9 and going on here all the way down to really verse 34. We won't hit every verse, but let me pull out some things that I think are important for us as the Spirit works in our life. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to do what, class? To pray. Don't discount this. God uses praying people. God does unique works in and through praying people. Pastor, I want to be used of God. Do you pray? Pastor, I would love to see something bigger, larger than my life happen. Do you pray? Well, I pray for my food. Well, I'm glad you do that so you don't choke. But I'm asking you, do you have a vibrant prayer life with the Lord? Do you spend time talking to the Lord every day, a couple of days? Somehow, there's a disconnect in the mind of God's people where we just think that God does things somewhat independently of us, and therefore that my behavior has nothing to do with that. But as you read the Word of God, you will find that the Christian people that God used, that God rests His power upon, that God did marvelous and wonderful things, are people who know how to pray. I will say this. One of the ways that you withstand God in your life is the absence of prayer. I can literally be in God's way in a withstanding way if I'm not on my knees seeking His face, if I'm not praying, if I'm not seeking His will and His counsel, if I'm not listening to Him. And so Peter, he knew the power of prayer. A few chapters earlier, he had been in prison. Prayer had freed him from that. He understood what it was to pray, and praying was a part of his life. I submit to you that God uses praying people. No matter what your health is like, no matter what your income is like, no matter where you are in the stage of your life, God can use anyone that knows how to pray. And so Peter was praying. Verse number 10. He was praying, and we understood, and he got hungry. He would have eaten. In the midst of this prayer, he falls into a trance, and he's able to see this vision that opens up with this sheet coming down. Verse 12 talks about the beasts that were there. Verse number 13, there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, say those three words out loud, please. "Not so, Lord." You ever said, "Not so, Lord"? "Not so, Lord." I'm not sure that those three words actually go together. I'm not sure Jesus is truly the Lord he ought to be in our life if we keep telling him, "Not so." "Well, I love you, Lord." "Not so." No. I know we're saved. I know that we've received him as who he is. But you want me to go do that? "Not so. Not so, Lord." "What else you got, Lord?" "What else you got, Lord?" "Not so" are words that ought to not come out of the believer's mouth. Amen. And so Peter here, he's being challenged. Now, to Peter's defense, the Spirit of God is leading him to do something he's never done before. The Spirit of God is leading him to do something that is not popular. The Spirit of God is leading him to not only step out of his own comfort zone, but to step out of his own mindset. The Spirit of God is leading him against his own inhibition, against his own prejudice, against his own understanding, against everything he has been taught. All of Peter's security was in him being a Jew. And now the Spirit of God says, "I want you to go over here to the Gentiles." And it's almost more than Peter. It is more than Peter can even handle in the moment. And so Peter says, no, this cannot be true. This can't happen. "Not so, Lord. I'm not going to, this is not the direction we are going to go." Now, if you remember in chapter 11, here was Peter's question: "Who was I that I could withstand God?" One of the ways that really and truthfully Peter could have withstood God in this aspect was not to submit to the Lord. To have this mentality of "not so." God uses praying people. God does not use "not so, Lord" people. "Not so, Lord." So what is the Lord asking you to do? What is the Spirit of God asking you to do? Well, Pastor, you know, I know the Spirit of God wants me to witness to that person, but I'm just not comfortable with them. So basically what the Spirit of God is doing is he's pricking you and you're saying, "Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord." "Well, I know the Spirit of God wants me to be involved in some area of service, but not so, Lord. Not so, Lord." Listen, he's either our Lord or he's not our Lord. Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I have a suspicion that many of God's people have taken the not so Lord approach." Now, maybe it's not from a prejudiced mindset or a biased mindset as Peter's mindset was. Maybe it's a timing issue. Maybe it's a comfortable issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's something else. But the Spirit of God has made it known to you through his word, through his voice, something that he wants you to do, and you've simply said, not so, Lord." I submit to you that that's withstanding God and what God wants to do in and through you. And at the end, looking back, I guarantee you Peter was glad that he said, "Yes, Lord, I'll say yes." What do you think? Verse 15. "And the voice spake unto him again the second time." Aren't you glad that God's a God of second chances? "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, call thou not thou common.' This was done thrice. The vessel was received up again into heaven." Now, verse 17. "Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean." I want to stop right there. There's nothing wrong with struggling with what God wants you to do. There's nothing wrong. Peter gets this vision, and this vision is a step and a stretch for him. His initial approach to this is, "Not so, Lord." Now, in verse number 17, he's trying to digest what all is happening. And he's doubting in himself what the Lord is doing. And a lot of times that happens to God's people. The Spirit of God will reveal something to us, or he'll lead us in a way, and it's so overwhelming that it really and truthfully brings us to a position of unassuredness, where, okay, I feel like this is what the Lord wants. I believe I've got his word on it. The Spirit of God is ministering. He's used a message. He's used counsel. He's used this. But there's just this looming thought of insecurity and unassuredness. All of God's people wrestle with that. Listen, I'm your pastor. Sometimes you put me on a pedestal higher than I should be. Man, there are times the Spirit of God reveals something to me that he wants to do. And I just kind of say, "Lord, what are you doing here?" And take it all in that moment. This is Peter. Now, the great thing about the Lord is he knows what we need. And he knows how to balance where he'll secure us. Now, he's never going to secure you away from faith. Help me with this. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. All right. So here's Peter. God has given him this vision, given him this instruction. His initial response is no way. Now that he's got past that initial one, and God gave him a second time, and God gave him a third time, now he's wrestling with, what does God want me to do? Now watch how the Lord works in verse number 17. While Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and they stood before the gate. There used to be a phrase when I was younger, and it went something like this: what a coinky dink. Does anybody ever remember that phrase? Okay. Basically, what that phrase would be something about coincidence. Well, that had to be just what a coincidence that is. Listen, my friends. We do not serve a God of coincidence. We serve a God of order. Okay? So this is what God will do in your life. Spirit of God will reveal something, a direction or plan. I'm sure it's going to be overwhelming to the point where our initial response is, "Not so, Lord." But then God kind of comes behind that statement. And if you'll look for the Lord, he'll begin to open doors. He'll begin to present things. And so while Peter is wrestling in himself, what does all of this mean? While he's thinking about it, there's a knock at the door, and these men are standing there. And what is this? This is the Lord revealing to Peter the next step. He's revealing to Peter the direction he wants him to go. And God is faithful to do that. Look, if you would, at verse number 18. They called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. Now, while Peter thought on the vision, okay, he's still wrestling with what the Lord is doing here. The Spirit did what, class? Said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them." Now watch this. "Doubting everything I tell you to do." Is that what your Bible says? No. "Doubting what?" "Nothing, for I have sent them." Now, was Peter made of the same mud that you and I are made of? Amen. If you've got Peter up on some pedestal, you need to reread your Bible. Okay? So this man is being challenged in his prejudice, which is very difficult on the human mind to be challenged in your bias and your prejudice. He's being challenged on everything he's ever been taught. I mean, everything. And now God has a plan to use Peter so overwhelming that Peter don't even, this can't be, not so, Lord. But while he's wrestling with this and thinking with this, the Lord is coming behind and the Lord is beginning to open those doors. So now these men are here. And now the men are knocking, and Peter hears the knocking, and they're inquiring about him. And now the Spirit of God comes behind that and begins to minister or speak to Peter. And then the Spirit of God is inquiring him to go down there. And then the Spirit of God says, now listen, don't doubt me on this. Go down there, meet the men, and go to the man's house. Don't doubt anything. Man, we're so prone to doubt everything. But I want to say this again. Peter was a praying man. He was very, very comfortable after Pentecost with the voice of the Spirit of God. So I want to ask you this question. Are you comfortable with the voice of the Spirit of God? If so, say amen. You ever heard the Spirit of God within your spirit? You know when God is ministering to your spirit. Peter's having this opportunity. He's having this situation. And as the Spirit of God is leading him in that direction and speaking to him, the Spirit of God is telling him, don't doubt me on this. So many Christians, we miss out on what God wants to do in and through our lives. You could almost take it to the point of withstanding God because we're so prone to doubt everything. And one of the ways, and I just said it earlier, the way that God is pleased is by faith. And so here's the Spirit of God instructing Peter to go forward and not to worry about anything. Why? Because the Spirit of God has got Peter. The Spirit of God has cared for Peter. Now remember, this should be simple for Peter because he was the man that was in prison. He was the man laying there, and he was the man that prayer freed him. He had known what God had done in his past, and still the Spirit of God had to handle Peter's doubting. So I want to ask you this question. Do you doubt everything God asks of you? Do you worry about everything God's doing in and through your life? I mean, God can pay your bills the first week of the month, and on the last week of the month, you don't think he can come through. God can feed you on Monday, but on Saturday, you don't know that God can feed you. God can give you a job, then you don't think God can sustain your job. God can provide direction for you, but then you don't think God can make that way possible. We're so in the human spirit prone to doubting. That's why you need to be in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the Spirit of God says, now, Peter, I got a plan for you. Now, just do what I tell you to do. Don't doubt me, man. So many times in God's Word, there's instruction for God's people. And we doubt so bad that we end up missing out. Verse 21, Peter went down to the men. We understand that. And he went with them. And we understand in verse 22 and going forward, we did all of this morning about how he went to Cornelius's house and how he begins to preach the gospel to him. Now, once Peter in verse number 21 goes with these men and he makes this journey, and he comes into Cornelius's house there in verse number 25. Cornelius falls down at his feet to worship him. Verse 26, Peter says, stand up, man. And in verse 27, it goes like this. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were there together. And he said unto them, ye know how, this is Cornelius, or Peter, that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath what? Showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying or complaining as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore what intent ye have sent for me. So Peter doesn't even know what's going on. He just knows he's following the Lord. I'm going to say this again. Don't miss it. Look me in my eyeballs. Peter don't even know what's going on. He just knows he's following the Lord. There will be times in your life you don't have the foggiest clue what's going on, but you're just following the Lord. And when you can learn, just to follow the Lord, irregardless of what is going on or without knowing, you will find that that is the point where God will meet you and do great things in and through you. You're not going to fully ever understand all of it. And Peter has to take the first step here. He has to go with these men. He arrives there. He says, listen, I don't necessarily know what's going on, but God has shown me here. And what is the intent? Look, if you would, at verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now to me, this is fascinating. Because God is doing something in a different region that involves Peter. Think about this. God is doing something in a different region, in a different nation, in a different nationality, and in a different man that involves Peter. So, listen to me. Tomorrow morning, when you go to work, you better go with the work with the understanding that God may be doing something in the life of these people, and somehow I am involved in this, so I better be prayed up and ready to serve the Lord. If you understand that, say amen. I mean, God's doing something away from him, but it involves him. Send therefore, verse 32, to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Now here's Cornelius. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. Thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. At this point in time, Peter is overwhelmed by Cornelius. At this point in time, Peter's eyes are open and perception begins to dominate. Look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I what? Perceive. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, what is he saying here? Here's what Peter is saying. Peter now sees what God is doing. And he's able to perceive how the vision unfolds. He's able to see how God has brought these men. He's able to see how he's glad that he didn't say, not so, Lord. And he's able now to understand that he's got a man here that God desires to be saved. He's got a work that's been happening, and Peter gets to be part of this work. And all of a sudden, Peter's perception is just ringing true. And he says, man, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And so there's a coming this opportunity for Peter to see what God is doing. I promise you, you may not always know what God is doing, but God is faithful to work in your life for your good and for his glory. And if you can believe that, and you can trust the Spirit of God, even when it seems overwhelming to you, and you can step out by faith and you can follow the Lord, even though you may not understand the intent, you just know that this is what God wants you to do. And as you step out and you follow the Lord, there will be a day when God will open it up and show you what it's all about. There will be a day when you can stand there and you can say, I am so glad that I did not withstand God, because now I see what God's doing in and through my life. And the person who says, not so, Lord, and goes this direction, they never are able to realize in their life what God could have done. And then their perception will unfold in a very negative way. I was taught this lesson, and I'm taught this lesson every day of my life. Do you have time for a personal story? Do you even care about my personal life? It's 6:51:08. I need 4 minutes to tell you my personal story. When I was 16 years old, I was going to a school called Evergreen Christian Academy. Evergreen Christian Academy was 40-some miles away from our house. And I was involved in everything that a high school boy could be involved in as far as sports and studying and so on. And believe it or not, I had a girlfriend whose name was not Beverly. She's in children's choir, right? Okay. This girl's name was Kathy. If I think hard enough, I'll get her last name, but I can't remember it right now, probably to my credit and to my own safety. Had a girlfriend, and 16-year-old boy with a girlfriend playing sports, and everything was going great. And then all of a sudden, God intervened in my life. And I was going to the school that was tied to another church. And there was a problem in that church. We didn't really know what that problem was, but God interrupted my life and he took me out of that church. Today, the pastor of that church that I went to the Christian school is a homosexual. Pastoring a homosexual church in Atlanta, Georgia. Wicked. And I was involved there in that school, and God came and said, you're done there, through my dad. Now, I knew that was going to interrupt my life. I would like to tell you that I responded in a very positive way, but as a 16-year-old boy, I responded in a very ungodly way. And God sent me to another school. I've told you the story about what God did in my life in that story, or in that moment. Because it was my senior year in high school at this other school that I met my wife. I met her on day one of school. She had a green dress on. That was 1989. She had 80s hair. Her hair came through the door before she did. And I was in a homeroom sitting at a table, and it just, I was captivated. That would have been August. In October, we started to go out. They used to go out and date. And so we started going out. I remember the first party that we went to. I remember the first bowling activity that we did. I remember doing all of those things. And I look back at that, and as not so Lord as I was, how could you ruin my life? How could you do all these things? I remember all of those things. And yet there came a moment in my life at the end of my senior year that God used Beverly to correct me. God used her righteousness, God used her love for the Lord to remind me that that ought to be in my heart. And she wanted to date a godly person. And I was in my mind, I was in my heart, but I wasn't in my practice, and I was wrong with the Lord. And so God whooped the fire out of me my senior year. And finally, come March or April, when I went to that conference, I got on my knees and I asked God to forgive me for my waywardness. I remember submitting to the Lord, changed my life that day. And I look back on that, and my perception is, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I didn't know what God was doing. I didn't know that God needed me to get out of that wicked environment. I didn't know the intent that God had. I even misjudged the intent God had. I even accused God of wrongdoing. But God was wanting to do a work in and through me. And if I would have let my bias, my insecurity, all that I know, if I had to let all of that go stop me and had the not so Lord mentality, I wouldn't be here today. As far as I know, the girl that I was dating has no desire to serve the Lord. My life would have been a mess. I wouldn't have the children I have. Some days that's... I wouldn't have the blessing of God on my life. And I would have never been able to be like Peter, to get a group of people together and say, who am I that I would withstand God? It's better to just let God do what God wants to do in your life. Amen. I hope you know the heart of this message tonight. And I hope you have a submission to the voice of the Spirit of God. Shall we pray?